Thank you, Dorothy. There was a time in human history, more than 2,000 years ago, but it was in human history, human beings, that the great God who created the heavens and the earth, and now we know he created the universe and all the universes that are or could be, that great and glorious God, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light and accessible, hid from our eyes. That great, glorious, creator God, 2,000 years ago, needed a woman. Not a man, he needed a woman. And he needed a mother, because his plan of salvation could not go forth unless a child was born of flesh and blood, like any other human being, but he would be called the Son of God. But he had to be made of flesh and blood. And the Bible says quite clearly that was absolutely essential, because only when he was made of flesh and blood on our level could he defeat the devil, who had the power of death. This is what the Nicene Creed, which all Christians together believe, says of him. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. So God needed a woman. God himself, and this is how important womanhood and motherhood is, God himself needed a mother, needed a woman. So that angel came to Mary and said, "Hail, highly favored one." Mary was chosen by God the Father. And throughout the Bible we find that special people were chosen by God to do special tasks. No one greater than her. But let us remember that every single Christian, you and me, have been chosen by God to be his children. Your faith does not depend upon your decision to follow and believe in God and holding on to him by your fingertips. Your Christian faith, like hers, depends upon the fact that he has chosen you and me and will never, ever, ever let us go. we are eternally and forever saved. God's children, whom he foreknew, those he chose. It's a great privilege to feel that you as an individual and I as an individual have been chosen by God, says Paul in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world. You and I were chosen by God to belong to him as his children before he set the sun ablaze. It wasn't because your mother and father decided to have another one and looked at you and me and maybe wished they hadn't. But it was because God wanted you, especially you and me, to be born and to come to know him. And it's a humbling thought, this choice by God, because he chose us not because we were better than anybody else. He chose us not because we were greater than anybody else. He chose us not because we were richer than anybody else. He chose us not because we were especially gifted above everybody else. He chose us out of sheer love, despite all he knew we would be and do, and in praise of all we would be and do. He chose you and me. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." So let us, as human beings who have been born of a mother, all of us, rejoice in the fact that before we were born of our mother, we were chosen by God to be born. We were chosen by God to come to know him. It amazes us when so many people ignore him and even reject him, have no time for him. In this so-called scientific and technological age, and this very sinful age in which we live, it amazes us. Yes, we may not be a majority of people in the world who believe in him, but as a special individual, you and I have been chosen. So you may not have heard him like Mary heard the angel, but God did say of you, as you were being born and as you grew older, "Hail, highly favored one." Hail, dot, highly favored one. Hail, Margaret, highly favored one. And that's what he said of you and your name. It's marvelous. It's almost incredible, but it's absolutely true. Hail to every one of us who know him, highly favored one, men and women alike. And so we, as chosen people of God, want, like Mary, to live to please him. We want to live as worthy as we can. We want to live for his glory. We want to be his especially. And as we were born, so also, unless Christ comes very soon, each one of us in this place will die. But we must not look upon this earth as our home. We must not look upon our natural human nature and our nature as created beings by our mothers and fathers as our ultimate destination. If we try to make this home, this world, the wonderful fulfillment of all our desires and dreams, successes and hopes, we shall be disappointed, because our destiny, our homeland, our citizenship is far above, beyond this world, in the supernatural realm where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven praise him. So you see, this wonder of birth. Not only are we born on this world by God's choice, not only does he say to us, "Hail, highly favoured one," we were born to live forever. We were born to be in his eternal kingdom forever, in his wonderful and glorious presence, where there'll be no tears, no pain, no sickness, and no dying, and where we shall meet up again with our mothers and our families in a glorious new life. Oh, keep our eyes on that, dear friends. Keep your eyes not on this world, because you were born and I was born to live on this world, but not only that. He gave us in his likeness our spirits, and we were born to live forever in his kingdom as his children. It's wonderful. It's marvellous. And we want to please him. And I live not a perfect life, and you live. And when we soar beyond this world to places in heavenly realms, we don't only want to say, "Here, hail, highly favoured one." We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord, for that is what we were born for." And Mary was obedient. She was mystified. She didn't know what this salutation meant, but her final words were, "So be it. Be it unto me according to your word." I don't understand it. I'm not fully conversant with it. I don't deserve it. But be it unto me according to your word. Let me be obedient to the calling which God has called me to. Now, every Christian is called with a special calling, in some kind of way, to do some kind of thing, even to live beyond church for his glory. We are called. And God does not ask of us, if you read the parables, success. What he asks of us is faithfulness. He says, "You have been faithful in little, therefore I will make you serve in a greater capacity." So let's remember that. We don't have to be successful people. We don't have to be perfect people. We don't have to be absolutely wonderful people. What God asks of you and me is faithfulness to him and do his calling. And let us consecrate ourselves to do that. We were born of his choice, of his will, not only naturally, but to live forever. Hail, highly favoured one, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we have not been necessarily successful in all that we want to do, but because we have been faithful in what he has wanted us to do. And finally, as we read, as Linda read, Mary suffered agonies as she watched her son, naked, dying upon a Roman scaffold, her firstborn son. What agony must have filled her heart. What pain she must have gone through. Terrible. But it had been foretold when he was just a baby. The sword shall pierce your own heart. It was said to Mary. And although we have been chosen, and although we want to be faithful, and although I believe very much, as you know, in the ministry of divine healing, and a person came even this week from the far south of England, a man brought his wife to this church in that little room because she was desperately ill. Now, although I believe in that, I do know from my own experience, very much from my own experience and from yours, that suffering is part of the Christian life. That you cannot live a life of motherhood or fatherhood or being a servant of God without at some time going through suffering. And it is through suffering, if we rightly accept it and don't get bitter and twisted, but just accept it and trust God, it is through suffering that God will mould us and make us and help us to be more like Jesus, who suffered so much as he did for our salvation. If we are going to live the Christian life, suffering will vary. It may be sickness for some. It may be disappointment for others. It may even be disappointment in our children for others. It may be bewilderment. Maybe we don't understand it, and certainly most of us, if we live any time, will go through the agony of seeing our mother, our loved ones, die to this world. And we shall mourn and we shall have pain. Pain and suffering is inescapable in the Christian life. What matters is how we accept it. There are one of two ways. When we suffer, we can either become bitter towards God, we can either become resentful in our hearts, we can become stony-hearted people, bitter and twisted. Or we can say, I do not know why I'm suffering like this. But I accept it, Lord, that you have at least permitted it. And I will give myself to you in it and ask you to melt me and mould me through it and make me a more sympathetic, loving and kind person. That's the two ways we can accept suffering. One of the things that struck me about this that Linda read this morning is that Jesus, in his last hours on this earth, in his agony of pain, mental and spiritual, remembered his mother. He remembered his mother in it all. Woman, receive this man as your son. Man, receive this woman as your mother. And from that hour, he took her into his own home. On the cross, he remembered his mother.